If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is The Bridge. I'm your host, Alex Seegers. With me, I have a friend and a colleague. His name's Vlado. He's from Chief Officer from Motor Yacht Oco. With that, I'd like you to introduce yourself. Vlado, tell us a bit more about you. You're 25, Chief Officer on a 41-meter, extremely successful charter yacht.
Okay, I'm Vlado Mažgad from Bar Montenegro. I'm 25 years old. Since I was 17, I'm in the yachting industry. And already 2 years, I'm serving as a chief officer. My previous boat was 51 meter, and now this one is 41. My first chief officer role was on 51 meter, and after that, I jump in this heavy, busy charter, 41.
Yeah. Oco Loco. How has the season been so far? I know you guys are just wrapping up for the year.
Season been good so far. We did 12 charters plus 2 times boss trips, which is total 14. Since May, we didn't stop. We have 48 hours for turnover, and even tomorrow, boss is coming again for 22 days to finish this high season.
Jesus, man, that's a lot. How are you feeling after all that?
A few years ago, I would not feel this calm as I am now. But now also my role need me to be calm and responsible, and also to motivate other crew and to push them and give their best.
And how do you find that as being as young as you are now, trying to juggle that role as you have the responsibility as the chief officer, the safety officer, but then you have people in positions that are technically under you, but the age gap is extremely different.
Yeah, it can be tricky because some of my deckhands, actually mostly of them, are older than me. I try to lead them with respect and example, not with ego. I don't want to be a guy barking others. I'd rather set the pace, show I'm willing to work as hard as anyone else and naturally earn that authority, I would say.
How do you find that now that you're getting more into an elevated position, the responses?
My response is, being the bridge between the captain and the crew is a big weight, I would say. If the captain is away, I have to make calls. That means staying calm, anticipating problems before they escalate, and always keeping safety and the owner expectation in mind.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility going on there. And how do you feel with your journey? Because you've been doing this for, 8 years now?
Yeah, 8 years now. 8 years now, fully. It has been hard 8 years, I can say. But you know, I like this job, and I grew up by the sea, so boats were always around me. That environment shaped me. I felt at home on the water from the start, actually.
And can you go a bit more in depth about where you're from? I know majority of my audience and the people that are in my network is we don't spend a lot of time in the Med, especially the Eastern Mediterranean.
I'm from Montenegro, have border on the sea with Croatia and with Albania over there. We are just across Italy. My city is called Bar, which is just across Bari. We had this ferry route like Bar-Bari, which was the most famous. We grew up next to the sea. Many of my friends, they are also working on the boats. Not so many in the yachting industry because we were more familiar with the merchant fleet and that kind of things. I was also, my plan was to go to work on a merchant fleet, but since I got the call and I step up in the yachting industry, I decided that I'm just gonna stay there and grow up.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's like I find it so interesting and traveling around and now having completed my first Mediterranean season, meeting different cultures and different crew that are just completely different the way things are ran, like the United States, Caribbean, Bahamas, etc. It's like two different worlds coming together. And so with that in mind, as it seems like the market and the industry is shifting to better leadership roles or more supporting systems for crews. Like, what is the biggest conflict you've been finding in your career or roadblocks to stopping you from advancing?
There is nothing specific, but by the years, I start to learn everything. I learn everything and I become so good. You know, when I decide that I need to be chief officer, that I cannot anymore, when I had chief officers over me, which I don't want to say that, but they are not for that rule. They are not even for deckhands, some of them. And then I said, I cannot resist this. I cannot keep up with these guys. I need to go to finish my courses. And now I'm Master 500. So everything is going by the plan at 25 years old, Master 500. I think there is not so many people.
That's extremely impressive. And then, just saying, these people aren't doing it right and you're working for them. It's like, why would I work for these guys that are not as good as me?
Exactly.
And so what's your long-term ambition of being in the yacht industry?
My long-term ambition is hopefully in next 2 years, I'm going to become a captain. Mm-hmm. And after that, my plan is, because I already opened my company for maintenance and that, and I'm going to also start doing management of the yachts, maybe 5-6 more years in the yachting industry, and then I'm planning to stop.
And how do you feel? We talked about this earlier in our own personal conversations, but as you're like in yachting and you can see all the different avenues of where you can go, I mean, how do you feel about yachting as a whole coming from Montenegro, where you go merchant and whatnot, and then you see the world open up with yachting and now your whole perspective on life shifts?
Yeah, there is not so many Montenegrins which are working in the yachting industry. But we have beautiful ports as well. We have Porto Montenegro, which was the most beautiful port for 2019 and 2023 as well. And there are some investors which are investing in Montenegro, and the yachting is becoming more popular also over there.
Would you consider going back home or captaining a yacht in Montenegro?
Actually, I would not, because my fiance is French and we are planning to move up in France at the moment. We are living in Geneva in Switzerland, and we are planning to move in France by the end of this year or start of the 2026.
Nice, man. Nice. How's all that going?
How's
everything going with getting a place in France? And
yeah, we already checked some houses and we are looking forward. At the moment, we are not stick to the something, because to be honest, there is nothing that we like so much at the moment, so far, what we saw. Hopefully, in next month, too, we're going to find something.
Yeah, and so getting more on track with the yachting and whatnot, now as I am exploring and creating these automated solutions for the industry, you as a chief officer, now you're getting into more elevated position on vessels. What are some of the biggest things you find issues with now that you're going into a yard period, like sourcing supplies, getting service provided?
Actually, supplies are always problem, because you cannot believe the people, because they always say some date, but you need to know that they always going to be late, at least for a few days.
And have you seen that improving or degrading over the years since you joined the industry, or processes improving or just staying the same?
Just staying the same, I would say. It's nothing has been moving, maybe just become even worse, because there is so many companies which are providing services now. It was not like that when I joined the industry.
And so you have to go through all these different places, all these different companies to find something. So you need to know all of them, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really different than the United States. The United States, you can look online, you can source things a bit more easier. But in Europe, when I was there, I was definitely noticing the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to know the people. And for example, if you are in Italy, it would be better if you speak in Italian with them. Then it will be faster. If you are in France, it's the same story. That's the Europe, because they are just piano, Italian, we'll say.
And they're speaking all different languages versus our side and down in the Caribbean, everybody's speaking English.
Yeah, exactly. In my from my side, I speak English fluently, Italian, speak a bit of French, a bit of Spanish as well. And I speak, of course, Montenegrin, which is same language as Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, because we were part of Yugoslavia before. And have same language with different dialects, just.
Yeah, it's all the same. I always get so interested when I meet people like you and people from just faraway places and how you can come together on a boat with people you never thought you would interact with.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because you never know who you're going to meet on board.
Yeah, exactly. Like we got to meet.
It's like a lottery.
It's like a what?
A lottery.
Lottery, you know, yeah, you never know what you're going to get. You might hit or you might lose.
Yeah, exactly. Might hit the jackpot, but you might lose as well.
And so what have you noticed? So now you're getting into a more elevated position. How are you noticing, like, the crew that have been working under you and, like, the crew dynamics, how they've changed when you first started 8 years ago, pre-COVID, to your thoughts on it now?
Actually, depends. Now, green crew, actually, you know, green crew come in the industry and after 3-4 months, they think they know everything. And they start to act completely different. When I come in the industry, I was always listening and trying to learn something. I never argue with someone who was over me. But that's me. But nowadays, it's become so difficult to find someone who accepts authority, actually. Because many people does not accept it, especially me. I'm 25 and I'm second person on board, I can say, you know, and my deckhands are usually 27, 28, 30. And some of them, I found it like they got so pissed because I'm younger than them. But, you know, it's not my problem. They can finish courses and as well and everything, so they can become chief officer.
Yeah, and then they can start bossing people around. What do you think about the new generation of officers coming into leadership positions and how you can shape the industry to be better?
The new generation of officers is different. We still respect tradition, but we are less hierarchical, more team-orientated. The old school, my way or the highway, doesn't work with today's crew. People expect collaboration and respect, and if you cannot give them that, they're gonna resign or they're gonna be crazy.
Yeah. What was your experience working with those egotistical captains and chief officers? Have you had many run-ins with that?
It was crazy. Honestly. And I realized that I cannot listen to that anymore, especially not some, I don't want to say it in a bad way. Not some bullshit, I want to say, because especially older generations, they are very, like, strict and they are very, I don't know, like they are in army. This is not army anymore. And you cannot act like that with the people. You need to be friendly. You need always to find a good way how you would ask someone to do something.
Yeah, basic human.
Yeah, treat them with the respect.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it gets to people's, their egos is when you get on these bigger vessels and you think you're hot shit, like you're the king of the world. But you also need to understand is like, you're not in the military. There's nobody under you that you're going to war and whatnot. It's
exactly
cool what we do. It's fantastic. It's interesting. But at the end of the day, we're looking over boats for rich people to enjoy their time.
Yeah, exactly. We are here to make the guests happy, which is most important.
Yeah.
Everything else is negotiable and we are here just number.
Yeah. No, that's what what do you think about the sizes? Like, what's your preferred size vessel to work on?
I prefer 40 to 50 meter, I would say. I prefer 40 to 50 meter because it's exactly right number of the crew, I would say. Mm. Even sometimes, okay, on 50, you can get 10, 12 crew and of course, there would always be some fights, arguing between the crew. But if the crew is like team orientated, and everybody is helping to everyone, doesn't matter. You cannot, 40 to 50 meter, you cannot say that's not my job. We are everybody doing everything.
Yeah.
Everybody doing everything and everybody jumping and helping each other. But also I had some issues with the deckhand, for example, from 80, 90 meter, who come to work on 40 meter with me, and then he's like, it's not my job, you know. It's kind of crazy. Yeah? Like, he don't want to take the rubbish out, you know, he don't want to clean crew mess or something, he don't want to, I don't know. I'm giving now examples, just
yeah,
and a lot of examples.
And so you think there's a big, the thing I've been noticing is like once you get up into the higher ranges and bigger boats, the egos there get a lot bigger in a sense. People's self-worth is tied to the vessel instead of, you know, their own character in a sense. And have you noticed that with the bigger boat people?
Yeah, exactly. I noticed that they cannot fit in the smaller boats after bigger one because they are used to that hierarchy, which is another level, I would say. And if you go there, it's very difficult to come back on 40, 50 meter.
Yeah, I mean, I've never typically been a big boat person. I'm a small boat person. I enjoy the doing everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Dynamics. You know,
exactly.
It's chiller in a sense. I mean, you work more, but it's not as serious as
we are more like a family.
Yeah, more like a family. Sometimes you fight, you get a crazy uncle or two, but you know, at the end of the day, you all like each other.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
And so what was your biggest like view shift change is going from a deckhand now into the chief officer role? How was that switch mentally? What sort of things are you having to notice and pay more attention to now?
What's the things that I didn't notice before?
Yeah, that you have to notice more now as your responsibilities become more, like things you have to pick up that typically a deckhand is not paying attention to.
I see this role as a training ground. I'm learning how to manage not just tasks, people, budgets, safety. Each season bringing me closer to the day when I'll be a captain, because every day you learn something new, and that's life. Every day you learn something new, but there is if you want to learn. But if you don't, you always stay deckhand. And what I notice, I'm now more calm. And now more calm than before. The biggest thing I learned is you don't have to be the loudest voice to be a leader. You have to listen, stay consistent, keep learning. Even now, I'm already 2 years chief officer and I'm still figuring out how to manage people better.
What are your lessons, you think, from working with an international team, trying to juggle all these different cultures and then lead them at the same time?
We have crew from all over, different languages, habits, approaches. At first, this difference can create friction, but if you embrace them, they are your biggest strength, I would say. You learn new ways of solving problems, new foods, new stories. It makes you more adaptable as a leader.
And so what do you think about, because, I'm American, going over to Europe and everybody has a preconceived connotation about us. But what's your viewpoint on working with American crew?
Actually, you were the first American which I ever worked. Yeah, you're the first American which I ever worked, and you were the best, I can tell. You were the best, not because now we are talking here. I'm telling that to everyone. Because your attitude and your respect, even you are older than me, I really appreciate it.
I respect you, and trust me, if I have issues with authority, but then started working with you, and I was like, okay, I can respect this man, I can respect his leadership, and I know that us working together in this hierarchy, we're going to get the job done, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm really calm, and I'm not going after the crew.
Yeah, no, especially when you might have reasons to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me some of your most memorable trips, like some of your wildest stories of taking boats somewhere, ending up in some area where you have the craziest adventure.
There is a lot of actually stories, but okay, now this one comes in mind. We had a charter that was last year, yeah, something like that, in September, October, this part of the year. We had a charter and we were on Phi Beach there in Sardinia.
Yeah.
We were on Phi Beach and I was on 51 meter sailing boat. And me as a chief officer, I took guests in Phi Beach over there on the party. We dropped the anchor, all crew went to sleep. I was on the bow. It was so calm. And I feel wind is picking up, you know, and I feel it like 20, 25 knots, maybe. And then I went to the aft because we had tender on the long line. And wind picks up to 75 knots. Sailing boat was staying like this. I wake up captain. And he said, also our anchor was dragging. He sent me to wake up all the crew, and all crew was in that moment in main salon with the life jackets. The guests start calling, come pick us up. I explained to them, I cannot pick you up right now. It's safety. I cannot leave the boat right now. No, you need to pick us up. And then I was talking to them in a nice way, like 2 minutes, but then I couldn't anymore. And I said, okay, I'll give you captain now. He'll confirm my story. And then that passed around 20 minutes after. Was so calm again. I went pick them up and they were so mad. They were so mad at the end they didn't leave even a tip.
Wow, they didn't leave a tip. I mean, yeah. Like, what do you think about that? Like, guests just not really having any true idea of what they're doing and how dangerous it actually can be.
I think probably they never been on the sea before and they never had something like that, you know. And they don't know. I was born on the sea. I know which wind is blowing when I see the swell. By the swell, I can realize which wind is blowing. Is it north, south, east? But some people just don't understand, or even worse, they understand, but they are acting like they don't because they're in the yacht and they think they can do everything.
Yeah, that you do anything you want. But then, you know, we understand that Mother Nature, she's the one that tells all. You can't go against her. So, yeah. What was this boat? Because remember, Bayesian? I don't remember exactly how
to say it. Bayesian.
Yeah. Do you think they got, were they in the same area as that storm?
They were in Spain, actually, mm-hmm. Bayesian. They were in Spain, but it was, I think, same night or something like that when hit us 75 knots or something.
That's crazy, man. That's so insane to think that we're working on these boats and this is our full-time job. That
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm staying in these epic places. Tell me, like, what's your favorite spot that you've seen that's just, you saw?
There is quite a lot of nice spots from the, for example, coast of Sardinia to the old city of Dubrovnik or even Kotor in Montenegro, I would say. But also Italy, Capri, Amalfi, Sorrento. But pretty much I got fed up with that because I spent at least 500 days at anchor at Capri till now. And you know that Farra Leone, people love it. And I love it when I come first time, but then it becomes so basic, I would say.
Yeah, you see it all the time. That's me with the Bahamas. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know all these islands. I know all the guys here. It's like, yeah, give me something new here. So are you ever thinking about coming over this side?
I was thinking before, actually, before I got engaged in these things. And then, unfortunately, my fiancé will not allow me to go.
She won't let you come over and enjoy some of the reggae?
Unfortunately, not.
That's all right, man. It's probably for the best. We get up to no good over here anyways.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now, tell me a bit more about, like, your favorites. Because I know you're a big food connoisseur and whatnot. And so what's some of the best places you've eaten around the world? As I'm trying to inform more Americans on what they should be doing, what they can look for when they do their first European season.
One of the best, ask for the food.
Yeah, like some of the best places you've been to with the best food around Europe. So Yakru can understand too.
I would say where I'm living now in Geneva, there is one beef restaurant, which was the best beef restaurant in 2010 on the world. That one I would put maybe on the first place for someone who is enjoying the steaks, as I really do. Also, there is in Italy, in Salerno, there is Cetus Hotel, which have a few restaurants. Like a beach restaurant, you have dinner restaurant. Everything was super nice, I would say. There is also Chiamado, I would say. There is also in Salerno, on the south coast of Italy. There is also in Salerno a really nice steak restaurant. It's less expensive than Geneva, but it's good, but cannot compare with this one in Geneva, I would say. Cannot compare with that one. But for the south coast of Italy, it was one of the best restaurants, and I'm there 10 years. And I'm returning every year there.
Yeah, I always get so excited now that I spent some time there, like all the different food types and everything just tastes so much better there. When I first got back to the States last week, I got a bagel and an egg sandwich at the airport, and it was the driest thing I've had in my life. And I was just like, oh no, we're back. I'm back with the hard water and food's awful and everything's more expensive.
Yeah, but you will come soon.
I'll come back in no time. Yeah. So we're going to move on to a bit more advice and reflection throughout your career, just for more people your age and people older like myself, where they can give them some advice on how they can start out and whatnot. So it's like, what would you tell yourself now with all your 8 years of experience to help you move even quicker, even though you moved hella quick as you started at 17?
Yeah, if I could tell my younger self one thing, it'd be don't rush the process, but also don't waste the time. Learn everything you can, even if it doesn't seem glamorous. Every skill adds up. Every skill adds up. For 18 to 20 years old, starting out, my advice is simple. Be humble, work hard, and stay curious. The ones who stand out are those who don't complain, who step forward and something needs to be done, and who genuinely want to grow.
And so what would you advice you would give to the new 18, 20-year-olds looking to start out on a deck career? What are some pitfalls they can not do, or they can speed up the process, as when it comes to like gathering on your sea time, et cetera, and the better schools to look out for?
Just listen to the chief officer, bosun, doesn't matter. Just listen to the someone who have already experience. And if you listen to someone, of course, everybody make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. There is no perfect guys. Everyone makes mistakes. So if you want to progress and if you want to learn, just listen and keep pushing hard. Stay humble and stay curious.
Yeah. Also, if you do make a mistake and you break some, we've all broken stuff. It happens.
But accept it.
Yeah, accept it. Go up to the person in charge. Apologize. Tell them what happened. And then just learn from the experience. Because if you hide away from it and then somebody comes up and they're saying, how did this break? Why is the door handle missing? What's going on here? It's like, no, own your stuff, go to the captain, apologize, and then you'll earn the respect that somebody or shrink away can get.
You earn respect like that because they see that you are open-minded. And you made a mistake, and it's normal. As I said, everyone made mistakes. So if you made mistakes, just accept it. Yeah. Don't try to make someone else guilty for that what's happened.
Then that's when the crew dynamics get weird, and that's how you lose your job quicker by doing something like that. And then it's just owning up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And go with your puppy dog eyes to the captain. Say, I'm sorry. Okay. How would you recommend for anybody starting their career in yachting to set themselves apart? Maybe reiterate some of the points you just gave.
A lot of us try to stay healthy, running on the clay, swimming, hiking when we can. It's easy to fall in the bubble of parties, but balance makes you sharper at work. Mm-hmm. You always need to find balance. Crew bonding is a huge part of morale, whether it's barbecue on the dock, swapping receipts, celebrating someone national holiday. Those moments make the long seasons worthwhile, I would say.
Yeah, it helps improve your morale. How do you see your responsibility? Or it's like you're a chief officer, like you're trying to push that crew bond. Is that something you actively keep in your mind?
Yeah, I'm trying to do that, but you know, it's very difficult sometimes because people acting like strange. They got offended when you try to say them something. But I mean, that's people, and it will always be like that.
Yeah, it's always people. And so tell me, what's your long-term ambition? It's just to sit down and run your management company, right?
Yeah, exactly. A few more years in the yachting industry and then running my management company and maintenance of the yachts.
No,
hopefully it's going to be good.
No, it's going to be good. It's got to be good. There's no way you made it to the position you're at now that it's just going to close the door in front of you. You're not going to make it work any other way.
I would say it's just started.
Yeah, it's just started. And I'm excited to see where it goes in the next 5-10 years as we both go down these different paths together.
And,
it's exciting. Any other closing remarks you'd like to give to everybody before we wrap up here?
Before we wrap up, I would say stay humble and be curious for everything. That's for the young ones, for the greenies which are coming in the industry. And don't get mad and don't get offended when someone bring you back to do something, if you don't do it properly, because it was happening to me as well.
Yeah, and it's happening to all of us. I mean, you live and you learn. As long as they're not trying to put their hand down your pants, take your money, or do anything bad to you, if they're correcting you and saying you need to hit this spot again, and then add it to your repertoire and don't miss it again.
Exactly.
Just call it a day and get some beers, and then you're all friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, perfect. I'd like to thank you, my friend, Chief Officer Mario Yadoko. I appreciate
your
time being on here, man.
And thank you, brother. I appreciate it, really. And I really appreciate, especially because I'm the first guest in your podcast.
Yeah, you're my first crew guest. Yeah.
First crew guest. It's really, how to say, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you taking the time. And now that we worked together for that time back in the med season, and then coming to this point where we're across the pond and still getting together and sharing these stories and time. And I'm excited to come see you again next year in the Mediterranean.
Absolutely. I'm excited to take you again on the boat with me.
Yeah. Hopefully next time we won't be working. We'll be just chilling.
Yeah, just chilling. Exactly.
Just chilling.
Just chilling.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching. I'm your host, Alex Seegers. This is The Bridge. And be kind to one another.